Exodus 12, 21 through 28. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, "Pick out and take lambs for yourselves according to your families, and kill the Passover. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning. For the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to strike you. And you shall observe this thing as an ordinance for you and your sons forever. It will come to pass when you come to the land which the Lord will give you, just as he promised, that you shall keep this service. And it shall be when your children say to you, 'What do you mean by this service?' that you shall say, 'It is the Passover sacrifice of the Lord, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians and delivered our households.' So the people bowed their heads and worshipped. Then the children of Israel went away and did so, just as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did."
The descendants of the patriarch Abraham moved into Egypt during the time of Joseph. We note that there were about 70 souls that came down from the land of Canaan, and they settled in the land of Goshen. In Acts chapter 7, in verses 17 through verse 19, Stephen, as he rehearses the history of these people, said, "But as the time of the promise drew nigh, which God vouchsafed unto Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt, till there arose another king over Egypt who knew not Joseph. The same dealt craftily with our race and ill-treated our fathers, that they should cast out their babies to the end that they might not live." We read of these events as we begin the book of Exodus. We note that God raised up Moses to set his people free. In Exodus chapter 3, in verses 1 through 4, God spoke to Moses from the midst of the burning bush. In Exodus chapter 3, and in verse, I'll catch up here. In Exodus chapter 3 and in verse 19, the text tells us, "And I know that the king of Egypt will not give you leave to go, no, not by a mighty hand. And I will put forth my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go." In Exodus chapter 5 and in verse 1, God said unto Moses and Aaron, "And afterward Moses and Aaron came and said unto Pharaoh," as they relate the message that God has given, "Let my people go, that they may go or may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." We learn from that text that they were to go 3 days into the wilderness and worship God. Moses had been told, as we mentioned in Exodus chapter 3, that Pharaoh will not let you go, but I will put forth my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders. And after that, he will let you go. In Exodus chapter 6 and in verse 1, the text again tells us that Jehovah said unto Moses, "Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. For by a strong hand shall he let them go, and by a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land." God said, "I will cause Pharaoh to let my people go." Plagues occurred upon the nation of Egypt, and we read about them. The water changed to blood. Frogs, lice, swarms of flies. The cattle were diseased. Boils, hail, locust, darkness, and then the death of the firstborn in every house. The story of the plagues, we've noted earlier in previous studies, was summarized in the Psalms. And in Psalms chapter 135 and again at 136, the death of the firstborn is the only plague mentioned at all. That plague, of course, being the worst. And that plague, characterizing all of the plagues, stood for the smiting of the land of Egypt that caused the Pharaoh to let the people go. After the plagues, Pharaoh released the children of Israel. But before the last plague, in Exodus chapter 12, we read of the ordinance of the Passover.
In Exodus chapter 12, if you'll open your Bibles to that text, it tells us, beginning in the text that was read in your hearing a few moments ago, regarding the Passover, that the Passover was to serve the purpose of being a memorial so that when their children would ask them, "What does this mean?" they would be able to tell them of the deliverance out of the land of Egypt. In verses 12 through verse 14, the text says, "For I will go through the land of Egypt in that night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am Jehovah. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And there shall no plague be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." God is telling these people what it is that's going to deliver them from the Egyptians. That death would come to every household. And indeed, Pharaoh would thrust the people out of Egypt. In Exodus chapter 12, in verses 27 through verse 30, again the text tells us that ye shall say it is the service of Jehovah's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed the head and worshipped, and the children of Israel went and did so as Jehovah had commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. In verse 29, it came to pass at midnight that Jehovah smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants, and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. Indeed, it was a horrible night for the Egyptians. But for the Israelites, it was a night to be remembered. In Exodus chapter 12, in verse 42, the text tells us, "It is a night to be much observed unto Jehovah for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. This is that night of Jehovah, to be much observed of all the children of Israel throughout their generation." This Passover was an occasion to teach. It became an annual feast day, so that every year they observed the feast of the Passover. They could remember the great things that God did to bring them up out of the land of Egypt. In the text that was read in your hearing, once again we want to notice, verse 26 it says, "And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, What mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, It is the sacrifice of Jehovah's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses." Now, the children were to be taught. They were to be taught over and over, every year, the significance of the Passover. In the 13th chapter, you will notice in verse 8 and there again at verse 14, it says, "And thou shalt tell thy son in that day, saying, It is because of that which Jehovah did for me when I came forth out of Egypt." In verse 14 it says, "And it shall be when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, What is this? That thou shalt say unto him, By strength of hand, Jehovah brought us out from Egypt, from the house of bondage." This was to be a great occasion because of a great night when God delivered His people. We note that the date was set in Leviticus chapter 23 and in verse 5. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at even, is Jehovah's Passover. Every year, they were to be taught about these things. There are things that we want to teach our children that become a memorial unto them. How many of us, and I should say a memorial to us, but how many of us, upon seeing a rainbow, and I don't know of any place any more beautiful than the desert, to see a rainbow. But how many of us, when we see a rainbow, even when our children are very young, ask the question, do you know what that means? We do that, don't we? Because we want them, at a very early age, to understand about God. In Genesis chapter 9, reading beginning at verse 8, it says, "And God spake unto Noah, and his sons with him, saying, And I, behold, I establish my covenant with you, and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the cattle, and every beast of the earth with you, of all that go out of the ark, even every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of the flood. Neither shall there be any more a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, This is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you, and every living creature that is with you, for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it came to pass, or shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you, and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh." Now again, the very purpose of the rainbow is to remind us of the great things that God has done, the great judgment that God spoke upon the earth. And so this was a covenant, or a reminder of the covenant that God had made with man and beast and everything of the earth, that it would not be destroyed again by a flood. Now we know that there are those who forget such things. And the Apostle Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 3, mentions some who denied the coming of the Lord. And in verse 4, they would say, "Where is the promise of His coming? For from the day that the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget, that there were heavens from of old, and an earth compacted out of water and amidst water by the word of God. By which means the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens that now are, and the earth, by the same word, have been stored up for fire, being reserved against the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men." When we read this passage, we see that there were those who didn't remember. Evidently, they didn't see the significance of the rainbow. They didn't understand what it meant. And in verses 10 through verse 12, the writer points out that even though men forget, the day of the Lord will come as a thief, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall be dissolved with fervent heat, and all things therein shall be burned up. As we look at this passage, we are reminded of the great things that God has done and of the great things that He has promised to do. As you turn further in your Old Testament to the book of Exodus in the 16th chapter, in Exodus, the 16th chapter, we see that the people of Israel have come out of Egyptian bondage. They've crossed over the Red Sea, and now they're in the wilderness of Shur. And the text tells us that they had no water in chapter 15. In chapter 16, they had no food. And in chapter 16, in verses 32 through verse 34, we learn that God had provided for them manna as it fell from heaven, in order that they might live. I don't know if you can imagine or not. Sometimes when I go out into the desert and there's really no town nearby, and I look and see miles and miles of expanse of nothing but desert, I think of Moses and the children of Israel out in such an expanse. And I think, well, if it was me alone, I might find a spring somewhere. I might be able to kill a rabbit and eat. But suppose you had 2 to 3 million people to provide for. It would be quite different, wouldn't it? Moses had a great multitude that he was responsible for. And God provided food for them to eat. God provided water for them to drink. And so in Exodus chapter 16, read beginning, if you will, please, at verse 32. "For there it says, And the house of Israel called the name thereof manna. It was like a coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. And Moses said, "This is the thing which Jehovah hath commanded. Let an omer full of it be kept throughout your generations, that they may see the bread wherewith I fed you in the wilderness when I brought you forth from the land of Egypt." And Moses said unto Aaron, "Take a pot and put an omer full of manna therein, and lay it up before Jehovah to be kept throughout your generations." Now, what was the purpose of that? It was to remind them of the providence of God in providing for them during this great period of wilderness wandering as they journeyed toward the promised land. Now, as we see the miraculous provisions of God, as the manna fell from heaven and as rocks brought forth water, we see that God cared for His people and He provided for them. In a great chapter in the New Testament, as we read in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 6, we learn a great deal about our attitude toward physical things, even toward the necessities of life. And beginning at verse 25, the writer says, "Therefore I say unto you, be not anxious for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than the food, and the body than the raiment? Behold the birds of the heavens, that they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, and your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are not ye of much more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add one cubit unto the measure of his life? And why are ye anxious concerning raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God does so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Be not therefore anxious, saying, What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Be not therefore anxious for the morrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Now regarding this omer of manna, it was to remind the children of Israel, generation after generation, of the great provisions that God had made for them. As we read of this multitude being cared for by God, shall we then be concerned about the physical necessities of our life and, as Jesus said, become anxious about them? I'm not suggesting that God is going to perform a miracle and drop a bologna sandwich out of a tree. But what I am suggesting is the teaching of the Lord in Matthew chapter 6 that He will care for us. He will provide for us. And certainly we see that to be true concerning the people of God in the wilderness. Turn over, if you will, to Joshua chapter 4. In Joshua chapter 4, we read of another memorial that God set forth before His people. In Joshua chapter 4, we read of the children of Israel as they are crossing the Jordan River into the promised land. And in Joshua chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, it says, "It came to pass when all the nation were clean passed over the Jordan, that Jehovah spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of the Jordan, out of the place where the priest's foot of feet stood firm, 12 stones, and carry them over with you, and lay them down in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men, whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of Jehovah your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall say unto them, Because the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of Jehovah. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever." You know, sometimes we picture in our minds the children of Israel coming to a little creek and just walking through it into the promised land. That was certainly not the case. As we read in the third chapter, we notice that there were 3 days in preparation for the crossing of the Jordan River. Can you imagine the multitudes, as we described, 2 to 3 million people to cross over? And furthermore, we learn in verse 15 that the Jordan overflowed all its banks at the time of harvest. We're talking about the time when the Jordan River was at its widest peak. And God said, I will part the Jordan River. Its waters will stop, and you shall walk over. And they did. And Moses instructed them, according to the commandment of God, to build a memorial of the crossing of the Jordan. Now, before I get to that, I want to go back to this. Can you imagine for just a moment a child, a grandchild, some down the pike a little ways, generations perhaps, coming to the pile of stones and raising the question, what meaneth this pile of stones? And someone saying to the child, oh, this is where we crossed over the Jordan. Now, academically, Terry, the answer is correct. But they have not taught the lesson. The pile of stones is much more than just to mark the place. It was a memorial of the great things that God did. Just as we read about the Passover and the Omer, as well as the pillar of stones. Now, as we think about these things, we have a memorial. On the front of this table up here, it says, this do in remembrance of me. Often I hear read from 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, when we began to observe the Lord's Supper. Someone will read, perhaps from verse 23, which says, For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, this is my body, which is for you. This do in remembrance of me. In like manner also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink the cup, ye proclaim the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat the bread or drink of the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. We read further in this text, but as we note in this text, it tells us that the observance of the Lord's Supper serves to remind us of the great things that God has done. How that He sent His Son, and His Son came and lived and faced the temptations of life and died the cruel death upon the cross. And so we observe the Lord's Supper. We partake of the unleavened bread in remembrance of His body. We drink of the fruit of the vine in remembrance of His blood. And the text tells us that this shows the new covenant established by His blood. Now again, as we think of the Lord's Supper, we learn some things from this text. We learn that there is frequency to the observance. The writer says, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup. That suggests to us that there is frequency. We learn in Acts chapter 2 and verse 22 that those early saints continued steadfastly in the breaking of bread. It was not something that they did semi-occasionally, but it was something that had regularity to them. Something that, as we see in Acts chapter 20, the Apostle Paul could anticipate when he came to the city of Troas, for they observed the Lord's Supper upon the first day of the week. Now, many things that are set for memorials, we don't observe. And because we don't note those things, our memory begins to slip, and we don't remember the great things that God has done. There were warnings in Old Testament times about remembering the things that God did. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, in verse 9, Moses said, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes saw, and lest they depart from thy heart in all the days of thy life. But make them known unto thy children and thy children's children. The day that thou stoodest before Jehovah thy God in Horeb, when Jehovah said unto me, Assemble me the people, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. Israel is exhorted to observe God's law and to remember to teach their children, lest they forget the great things that God has done. In Deuteronomy chapter 4 and in verse 23, the writer continues, Take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of Jehovah your God, which he made with you, and make you a graven image in the form of anything which Jehovah thy God hath forbidden thee. For Jehovah thy God is a devouring fire, a jealous God. Moses said, You need to remember. You need to remember. In the 6th chapter and in verse 12, again he writes, Then beware lest thou forget Jehovah, who brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. The warning of this text is again, beginning at verse 6 through verse 9, to teach your children, lest when you come into a land where there are houses full of all good things, which thou filledest not, verse 11, and cisterns hewn out which thou hewedest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, and thou shalt eat and be full. Then he says, Beware, lest thou forget Jehovah. You see, they were to continue to teach their children, lest they would forget. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11, verse 14, verse 19, again, we see that they were to remember. It's noteworthy to see just how many times they were instructed to remember. This is just a short sampling of them. But as Joshua brings them into the promised land, and at the conclusion of the 11th chapter, they have conquered it all, and beginning with the first portion of the 12th chapter, they begin to distribute the land among the tribes. But as Joshua is old, in the 24th chapter and in verse 15, he calls upon the people to make a choice. He said, If it seem evil unto you to serve Jehovah, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve Jehovah. Familiar passage. We quote it often when we're talking about the choices that we make. But the answer that they give is remarkable. They affirm over and over. In verse 16, for example, Far be it from us that we should forsake Jehovah and serve other gods. Joshua tells them in verse 20, If you forsake Jehovah and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you evil and consume you after that he hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, Nay, but we will serve Jehovah. They affirm, we'll remember. We'll not forget, you'll look at verses 16 through verse 18. We'll not forget the great things that God has done. We'll not forget how that He brought us up out of the land of Egypt. Oh, we'll remember the deliverance into the promised land. We'll remember the great victories that we had over the Amorites and others that dwelt in the land. Oh, we'll not forget. But if you turn into the book of Judges, to the second chapter, reading beginning at verse 10. It says, And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them that knew not Jehovah, nor yet the work which he had wrought for Israel. Now you can just turn the pages and read how many times they forsook God and they served idols. And by the time you get to the end of the book of Judges, you will notice in chapter 21, in verse 25 it says, In those days there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Now what's happened, brethren? They forgot. There were all kinds of memorials. They were to remember the deliverance from Egypt with the observance of the Passover. They were to remember the provisions of God as the Omer of manna had been preserved. They were to remember the crossing over into the promised land as the memorial, the pillar of stones, remained. But now we see that every man does as he please. And they worship idols. They have forgotten God. You see, it's easy to forget the Lord. Now, can we forget God? The people of old did. Jeremiah declared in Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 32, can a bride forget her ornaments? Or a virgin forget her ornaments? Or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. How sad. We understand the importance of the ornaments that a bride might wear. We understand the great care that goes into the providing of a wedding dress. And most of you, no doubt, had the thing cleaned and packed and still have it. Because you treasure that, don't you? But Israel had forgotten. They had forgotten. Days without number. I want us to note just briefly in this passage the wisdom of God in providing memorials. In Exodus chapter 13 and verse 8, it says, and thou shalt tell thy son in that day, saying, it is because of that which Jehovah did for me. The significance of that is to see that these memorials are to remind us of the great things that God has done. He said, when I came forth out of Egypt, and it shall be for a sign unto thee upon thy hand, and for a memorial between thine eyes, that the law of Jehovah may be in thy mouth. For with a strong hand hath Jehovah brought thee out of Egypt. You remember that. But they soon forgot. What purpose does memory serve? Well, we could talk about memory at some length. If you'll go on our website and look up memory, you'll see a number of years ago I wrote an article on memory. And how that memory serves to prevent. How that memory serves to bring us back. And how that memory serves to torment, as we talk about the rich man and Lazarus in Luke chapter 16. Memory serves a number of purposes. But in these memorials, we see that it's designed to rekindle the fire, if you please. The Passover, the rainbow, the omer of manna, the pillar of stones, and when we observe the Lord's Supper. What does it mean to you to do that? Do we not want to teach our children the importance of the memorials of God? There is a song that we sometimes sing when we observe the Lord's Supper. It's called The Breaking of Bread. Number 175 in our songbook. It says, dear Lord, we break the bread in memory of that great sacrifice on Calvary. This we do each Lord's day, as Christ has said. Bless all disciples now who break the bread. Bless thou the cup, dear Lord, to us this day. May we with hearts prepared His word obey. We now His death proclaim in His own way until He comes again. We keep this day. The last verse of that says, our Savior now doth reign in heaven above. Death's power He overcame, such matchless love. To heaven He did ascend. There He's enthroned. He's our dearest friend. For us atoned. Do we teach that? Do we think about those kind of things as we think about the memorials of God? They're designed for a purpose. Let us not allow our thoughts to pass from the seriousness of the occasion that brings us together each week. To remember. To remember. Certainly it's important for us to worship and praise the Lord. But it's important for us to think about the things that He's done for us. Because the reason why we should worship and praise Him. You've listened patiently to the things that I've had to say. Hopefully, maybe we'll think about them. And they'll be profitable or beneficial to us. Perhaps I'm talking to someone tonight who understands what it is to be lost. And it's your desire to be saved. You can this evening. Remember, Jesus came and died for you. And through His blood, you can enjoy remission. It be your desire to obey the gospel by being baptized into Christ or to confess error. We're here to help you in any way that we can. Make that known while together we stand and sing this song.
I will be linger, wandering from the path. Lord's Supper has been left prepared for those who wish to partake of this tonight. Please raise your hand if you need the Lord's Supper this evening.